Welcome to Season 5 of the Blue Jeans Christian Podcast, where we take the powerful Word of God and make it practical and relevant to your daily life, and especially to your job. Conspiracy theorists have been around for a long time, and when personal opinions overshadow truth, innocent people get harmed and injustice becomes rampant. Thank you for listening to episode 158 in the fifth season of the Blue Jeans Christian Podcast. And today we're talking about something that's celebrated for the most part during this time of year. I'm talking about Easter. We're about a couple weeks before the Easter celebration service of Christ's resurrection, the most monumental event in history. However, prior to that, we read about in Scripture and historical accounts where conspirators and conspiracy theorists got together. Even people who disagree with each other on many items got together to ruin something that was going on because they just didn't agree with it. And that something going on was Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was here on earth. And the most extreme example of injustice in all of history occurred in Jerusalem, about 2,200 years ago or so, where an innocent man was sent to be executed in the most gruesome execution ever devised by man. And most of that injustice occurred during the night. Isn't it interesting that things of ill repute usually happen in the cover of darkness at nighttime? And usually at this time of year, I read through the Passion Week stories in the Bible. Well, they're not stories, they're actual historical accounts. Matthew chapters 26 and 27, and Luke from his point of view in Luke 22, and from John's point of view, John chapter 18, and Mark, who was a teenager at the time, he wrote about these in Mark chapter 14. So it's kind of fun to read those different points of view from those guys. All of it is truth, and none of it contradicts. You just got views from different places around the cross or around the time at the time. Kind of like if there was an accident right at an intersection, two cars crashed, the police will interview the points of view from people that were standing on all four of the corners. And each view might have been a little bit different, but together they make the whole package, and you can get the truth. And that's what's nice about the Gospels, is these guys had different points of view, but they all point to the truth. They just saw things from a different angle. Not a bad thing at all. In fact, it's brilliant by God to put all those together like that, especially when it comes to the Passion Week, which we kind of tend to call it, that period leading up to Christ's execution and rising from the dead and walking amongst his people, making sure his resurrection was the most documented, factual occurrence at the time. Hundreds and hundreds of people saw Jesus. In fact, over 500 people in one time saw him alive after he had died. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about two things that jumped out at me while reading these passages. The first one is probably every person's ultimate question, and that every person has to answer one way or another. And that question is found in Matthew 27:22. Which is, what then shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? Those words were spoken by Pilate, who was the Roman governor of that area at the time. And Jesus had already been run through several kangaroo courts at the time. And finally they took him to Pilate because they couldn't kill Jesus. Only the Romans could authorize the execution of a criminal. And during this Passover time, it was customary for Pilate to release a prisoner that the people could choose, and he thought that they would release Jesus because Pilate couldn't find anything wrong with him at all. But the people decided they didn't want Jesus. They wanted him to be executed. They wanted a known criminal, Barabbas. And I'm sure you know the story. But one thing that's really interesting to me while reading is not only do we have to answer that question, what then shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? But our answer to that determines our destiny, meaning our life course, and our afterlife, and also just our life in general, and the quality of that life. And it all depends on Jesus and how we respond to him. Is he the Christ or the Messiah? Is he God's Son sent by God to pay our penalties for our sins on our behalf, and therefore making us right with God? Or is he just what a lot of these people thought, some phony who made some claims and did some miracles? Which no one else could do that. The point is, we all have to decide what Jesus is, who he was, and what he has done for us. Hopefully you have too, or will really soon. And the Bible says, at some point, every knee will bow before Jesus and say, you are Lord. And whether he is your Lord, and you get to spend eternity with him, or whether you acknowledge him as Lord, but not yours, then you won't get to spend eternity with him, and that's a bad thing. What shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? Interesting. Now, after you read that, and you start reading the accusations before and after that, that people had, you know, claimed Jesus this or that, and they were all wrong, you'll see that Jesus responded to just a couple of people, but to the majority of the people, he was silent. He didn't respond to at all. Several religious leaders, several government leaders, he didn't respond to at all. If they used the word if, I-F, if, he didn't respond to them. But those who didn't use the word if, he responded to favorably. Let me give you several examples from these passages. And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneering, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. Likewise, the chief priests also mocking with the scribes and elders, and said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is king of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads, and saying, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself, if you are the Son of God. Come down from the cross. Then one of the criminals who was hanged next to Jesus blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other criminal on the other side of Jesus, also hanging on a cross, answered, rebuking the other criminal, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we received our due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus then responded to him because he didn't use the word if. And he called Jesus Lord. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. You see, the word if shows no faith, and God doesn't answer. In the book of Hebrews, it says that it is impossible to please God without faith. Having faith in Jesus is the key to salvation. It's the key to godly living. It's what pleases God, and it's what gets God's attention, and He responds to you. Jesus, being God, responded to at least one person during this period of time. The one criminal who said, "I'm on this cross because I did something wrong." But Jesus didn't do anything wrong. And He is God, and His kingdom is coming. Will you please remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus responded to him and probably forgave him of his sins right there and said, "As soon as you die, you're going to be with me in paradise. You will go to heaven." I just think that is a pretty cool indictment on people and what matters to God the most, which is our faith in Him. Do you respond to that question? What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? With some faithless if? If you were Jesus, let me see this or that. If you were... No. Your faith in Jesus comes from reading His words and reading the Bible, which in John chapter 1 says the entire Bible is Christ. It is Jesus. So if you believe those things, you don't need any more signs. Your faith will save you. Your faith in what Jesus says is true, who He is. Your faith in what Jesus did for you. One other person didn't respond to Jesus with the word if. And Jesus responded to that guy too. The governor, Pilate. Now, I don't know for sure. Pilate was a pretty bad man. But if we get to heaven and we see Pilate is there, I'm not going to be surprised because of how he responded to Jesus by calling him at least a just person. He says in verse 24 in Matthew 27, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person." Even Pilate's wife, it says in verse 19, called Jesus a just man. So I don't know. But Pilate didn't respond to Jesus with the word if, showing lack of faith. Jesus responded to him favorably. And he certainly did to the thief on the cross, who realized Jesus is God and is going to come back to life and rule in His kingdom. During this Easter time of year, when we celebrate, yes, celebrate the death and resurrection, of course, of Jesus, He took our sins on Himself so that we don't have to pay any of the penalty for those and made us right with God. Thank you, Jesus. Please respond favorably so He can respond favorably to you. And don't use the word if. Remember, you can reach out to me through email, kevin@bluejeanschristian.com. In fact, spend a little time on that website. BlueJeansChristian.com, and I hope to see you in His kingdom.